One, if you're just tuning in, this is the Paul Garcia Show live. If you can hear me right now, leave a comment, give me a thumbs up or something, just so I know everything's working. And in just a few minutes, please feel free to call in at this number. Boom. I should have prepared for this much better. How did the... Okay. 309-807-4866. That's 309-807-4866. We will take your call. We won't even screen it because I don't have someone that can screen it. So we'll take your call, not knowing what you're going to say. You can tell us to talk about a thing or get our opinions on a thing or tell us we suck. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll take your calls. So, Corb, man, let's get right into the news here a little bit.
Right on.
Some, I think, this is local news, and it's not even in, you know, WGLT is not covering it. It's not in the Pantograph. It's not like that kind of news. But you can't help but notice this. Just outside of this building, I've seen a real spike in homeless people. Maybe I shouldn't say homeless people. I don't know if they're homeless, but it's people with signs asking for money. And It's really, really interesting. I saw a Facebook post recently, actually, where people called out this group that I've been skeptical of for months, who wear these green shirts and they say they're raising money for this little girl in her bone cancer. Hmm. And it's pretty organized, but apparently these people are infamous around the state of Illinois for scamming people.
Really?
There's no girl with bone cancer.
They're just
collecting money.
I feel like I've seen something like that. Mm. Or are you talking about where they'll have four people posted up at each intersection and they all got like buckets and they've got the matching t-shirts?
Exactly.
I didn't know that.
Pull that microphone a little closer to you, kind of like.
Can you guys hear me? How do I pull it? Oh.
Can you hear Corbin? If so, give a thumbs up and leave a comment. But yeah. No, dude, I mean, what do you think about getting to the homeless in general? What's kind of your philosophy on that?
It's funny that we're talking about this because my wife, Alicia, and I, it's weird, still weird saying wife for those of you who know me.
But yeah, you've been married for what, two months?
Today, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. No, it's weird that we're talking about this because we actually just like slightly argued about it. She's a little bit more compassionate. Me, not so much sometimes. Sometimes I have that more skeptical mind when it comes to it. I wonder, like, when I see them, if there's something more, like I'm not seeing any disabilities or like they seem like they've got, like you mentioned it
exactly.
One time years ago, like this guy might be younger than me and he's 6 foot, you know, whatever, like looks like a very able-bodied person. What's holding them back from getting a job and doing all right, you know? And so I'm definitely a little more skeptical when it comes to it, but I have also recognized a spike in the area. So Definitely something we should talk about.
Yeah, because that guy I was talking about probably a year ago or so, I remember that was just the start. The numbers have definitely spiked in the area since then. But I was 23 at the time, and I saw this man that was taller than me, that was more handsome than me, that was even relatively well-dressed. And he was definitely my age or around my age. And I'm looking at him, And I'm like, and he's a white guy. It doesn't matter, but just, you know, for a point in that corner, he was a white guy, and I'm here, a Mexican guy. What am I saying right now? This is live.
Know.
I can't even cut this
out. I always
out.
Pull this kind of stuff out of you.
Yeah. Well, if we're picking our spot in the victim hierarchy, I'm higher than he is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, you could do a million things better than me. I didn't finish college. I'm going to assume if he finished high school, like basically what I'm saying is, what is this guy's excuse? He could walk, especially at that time, he could have walked into any business and gotten a job.
Right.
He could have flipped burgers. He could have been a server. He could have done anything.
Yeah.
But he's not. And I don't know why. And I know he could go be a server and live off of that, go rent an apartment, eat, go to the gym even. And how do I know that? Because I did exactly that. I lived off of a serving job at Denny's for quite a while. So
year or two, right? Like it was a while.
Right. Yeah. How do you empathize with that?
Right. And so with my job, like we work in the staffing industry. And so a lot of the people we do employ come from pretty rough backgrounds. In fact, I can think of a story just this last week. We had a guy working at a local company and he's living out of his car. Just like he's calling us, said like, hey, when's my paycheck coming in for this next week? Cause he had no money to like get a tank of gas to drive anywhere else. And he was afraid that he might get let go because he's parked out in the parking lot, sleeping in his car and getting up and going to work from there. Now, totally respect that he's given that effort. But I think of, like, how did you get here? Like, you know, you've got a job or what happened? And for him, I think it was that he had just moved to the area. So I'm wondering if there was something that pushed him here. Yeah, like, there could be a number of issues he ran into from where he was from. But he essentially packed up and left just his vehicle and what he could pack in his car. No plans, no connections. So I feel like, well, I guess what I'm saying is there's a lot of decisions that come before you become homeless that, like, you have to question, like, how did you get here? You know, what did you do? And that's why I'm probably more skeptical, because I think of those situations and I think of, like, what would I have done? And now what Alicia pointed out to me that is pretty wise of her is that they, you know, they may be battling disabilities that aren't visual.
Addiction. You
know, addiction. Mental illness. There's all, like, you could go, the list goes on, obviously. So it's tough. I question it, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I always have a lot of concern when giving any money to someone on the street, because chances are, I mean, they've done studies on this, the majority of people are homeless and on the street because of an addiction. Mm-hmm. So are you just subsidizing addiction if you're giving them money? I remember Pope Francis said something along the lines of, the best thing you can do is, well, one, he, and Pope Francis is kind of woo-woo with this stuff. It's like, give the money and not wonder where it's going to. Mm-hmm. That's paraphrasing him, but it's paraphrasing him somewhat accurately. But he also said, look them in the eye and recognize their humanity. And I love that. And I remembered that. And I don't have a lot of money to be given out to homeless people either. Mm-hmm. But I've seen a few. I've had a few instances where I saw someone on the street, and I've rolled down my window and been like, hey, man, I see you. I see you. I feel for you. I don't have much of anything to give you myself, but I see you. And it's weird because I've only gotten really meaningful responses from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time me and Kyle's our both of our good friends, we were in Chicago and we saw this homeless guy. And I said the same thing. Like, hey, brother, I see you, man. I don't have much to give you, but I see you. And he said, don't worry about me, man. This is only temporary. I'm like, that's an interesting thing to say for a homeless person.
Right.
Like, this is only temporary. And I said, I know it is. I know it is. And then some guy's like, hey, that was pretty awesome. And it was a good moment. And man, I just don't feel right about handouts in general. And I know that sounds extremely conservative of me and very hard of me and mean of me, but can you remember a time? Well, maybe you can actually remember a like time where someone gave you a handout and it actually helped you big time. Or do you remember? I bet you remember more times where someone was hard on you and you're thankful for it later.
Definitely the second one. Now, like, when you say handout, it's kind of tough because nothing really comes to mind. Like, when we're talking these kind of handouts, it'd be pretty easy to think of, like, oh, somebody gave me, they spotted me $20, $40, whatever it is. My parents were probably the ones that would be giving me the most handouts. But then those are also the people that were hardest on me in life to make sure I was set up. So I guess I could spin that question around on you. Like, do you feel the same way, or were people more hard on you?
It's a mix. And it's funny because here I was on one side of this, and now I'm kind of seeing both sides. I know that I can't say that it's not great when someone – here, let me think about this.
Mm-hmm.
So to be completely honest, like Catholic Spirit Radio, I volunteered my time there, and because I developed a nice relationship with them and we agreed to do a kind of a service trade, and that's how I got this studio.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so I in a way, use my skills to provide a service for them that's beneficial for them. So I don't pay money necessarily.
Right. But that's not a handout.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But it was a nice move, but it's not necessarily a nice move. Cause
I also don't really know if I like the word handout because it has, like, a negative connotation to it already.
Yeah.
Like, handout means, like, you did nothing for this and you're probably going to do nothing with it.
And whereas, you don't continue. Sorry.
I guess what I'm saying is, like, Maybe we're saying that phrase is bringing, like, bad emotions with it. And maybe, like, we have to think of a time where somebody gave you something that was beneficial to get you moving and going. Like, this very studio, like you're saying, for you. Like, they they invested in you rather than gave you, that was a handout, you know right. what I mean?
And honestly, if I, God bless you, Catholic Spirit Radio, if I charge them what I charge most people for commercial production and the random things that I do, mm-hmm. it would probably wind up costing more than the rent would be for this place. So you know what? But it's, yeah, so this is not a handout at all. Quite right. the opposite. Let me think of a handout, though. A handout, again, you hate that word because it's bad connotation, which it does have. But that right. is exactly what you're doing with homeless people on the street. And who's to say that's helping anyone?
Right.
Giving money on the street. I don't think it is. Bold statement. If you disagree with what we're saying on homeless people, call up the number.
Right.
1-309-807-4866. Again, that's 309. Forget the one. Your phone adds the one. I didn't even put the one. 309-807-4866. What do you think about homeless people? People experiencing homeless is the politically correct way to say it.
Yeah.
And whether or not you should give money to them, call up and let us know what you think.
Right. Sometimes I struggle to like see the whole picture, so I think it would be beneficial for someone to call in and talk about it, because maybe somebody we're talking with has actually experienced homelessness himself and has a little bit more validation to bring to it.
That would be so crazy.
That would be.
Man. Well, hopefully we'll get a call in here. We're getting some comments. Let me read a few of these comments here. Yeah. All right. I'll read these out loud. So I said, call in with any questions, comments, or concerns to 1-309-807-4866. Elizabeth Custer says, hi, Paul. Hello, Elizabeth. Dude. Uh-oh,
did you lose the...
Oh, crap. I don't know if we're still live or not.
Well.
Are we still... Okay, we're still live. We're still live. Okay. All right, zoom in now. Okay. Elizabeth Custer says, hi, Paul. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth. My name's Corbin.
Caden Poole gives a thumbs up. Thanks, Caden. Tyler Jordan Bergstrahl, how's it going, boys? Everything sounds amazing. Tyler, I'd love to hear from you. Call us up at 309-807-4866.
Yeah, one of the best jokes of that video we did, right? Tyler had the...
Oh, Tyler. Yeah, what was it? All right! Call. We got a call, baby. We got a call. If this doesn't work, that sucks.
This is a call coming from Mighty Call. Press 1 to accept the call. Press... This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Hello, caller. You are on the Paul Garcia Show. Who is it that we are talking to?
Kyle.
Hey.
What's up, Kyle? Kyle.
Am I live?
You're live, brother.
Baby.
Let's go.
Dude, okay.
Why is it not live on your Facebook?
Oh, we're watching your Facebook.
You're watching my Facebook right now, and there's about a 20-second delay, if that's what you're saying.
Okay, that makes sense. We were, I thought this was like a pre-recorded voice thing. I was like, it's Kyle? I don't know.
Kyle.
Well, everyone knows now that it's Kyle.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, not much, man. Good to hear from you. Can't wait to have you back in Illinois. Not to give out too much of your personal information, but you moved to Florida not too long ago.
And your social security number is.
Also, your phone number is this. No, dude, what's up? What you calling for? Dude.
Cover up my phone number. Okay, don't let anyone see it.
It's not on. But there are about 30 people watching right now, so how about we cut to the chase here?
What are you calling for, man? What you got?
Dude, I just wanted to, say hi, see where we were going to go eat first when we get back.
Ooh,
what exotic cuisine we're going to try.
Right, yeah, that's right. For any of the listeners wondering what the heck this guy is talking about, Corbin, me, and Kyle, we go out, we were doing this for a while until Kyle moved to Florida for a few months.
What the heck?
But, we would go out to different ethnic restaurants. So we'd go get Indian, we'd go get Korean, we'd go get yada, yada, yada. And we're trying to hit all the different ethnicity restaurants in Bloomington Normal, because there's a lot of restaurants, you know. So, yeah, Kyle's asking which restaurant we're going to go to next. So, I don't know, man. Korean, I'll tell you what, that Korean barbecue
place,
Harmony, was unreal.
We didn't know what we were walking into, though. That was the start of this all.
Yeah, no. They had that K-pop on the TV and stuff. You remember that, Kyle?
Yeah, man, it was like a club walking in there.
Yeah. It was.
Hey, Kyle, while we got you, why don't you give your opinion on something?
What's up?
What do you think about when it comes to homeless people, you know, people begging on the sidewalks? What is your philosophy? How do you navigate that situation? Do you give money to them? What do you think about all that?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I am typically one of the persuasion to not kind of openly give in that way or help in that way. And I'm happy to pursue helping in other ways, but I'm not sure if, you know, openly handing cash is really the best thing to do. And that's kind of more just a gut intuition than based on anything else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's that. And then also, just so you know, it's cutting out a little bit, just as a heads up on your end.
Okay, the live stream's cutting out?
Or, no, just the call coming through. So I just want to make sure, like, every once in a while it cuts. But, yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. Corb, what do you think about what Kyle's saying? You kind of on the same wavelength?
Definitely on the same wavelength, yeah. Kyle, what I do want to ask you then is, you said other ways. What other ways do you help?
Is it like gift cards and stuff?
Or food?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just asking, like, not to trip you up.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I think even Lexi sit beside me, and she said something like, or I don't know if it was one of you guys that said something like gift cards or doing something besides cash to maybe limit the options necessarily, so that you're not feeding into some sort of like bad situation or something like that. And I think Lexi is gesturing for the phone, so I'm passing it off.
All right.
Okay, I'll hop on quick.
Lexi, what's cracking?
Before you answer somebody else. I know just personal experience, Emma Dunahy and I have personally, once we saw somebody who was homeless on the side of like Hy-Vee in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And we actually went up to them and asked them what, like, some of their favorite foods were and things like that. And we grocery shopped. We got like a couple of bags of groceries for them.
Oh, that's nice.
Very cool.
They weren't there. We were left. So they left by the time we got the food for them. But when we were speaking to him, it seemed like that was something that, like, he wanted most was just food.
Okay.
Hmm.
It's
interesting hearing.
So we went in and got, yeah, like, we got groceries. We got like plastic forks and spoons and plates for him, so that, like, when he did get food, he actually had something to eat it with.
Right.
And water and things like that. I feel like resources and like direct food sources are helpful in that sense.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And guys, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna keep talking about the subject, but thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And especially, I mean, Corbin and I personally appreciate hearing from you, Kyle and Lexi, so thank you.
Right on. See you guys soon.
Yeah, I can't wait to see you soon.
Yep.
All right.
Have a good time, guys.
See you for Oktoberfest. Bye bye.
Yeah.
All right, that was Kyle and Lexi. They just called in at this number, 309-807-4866. You can call. Oh, it's not focusing. 309? What in the world? 309-807-4866. You can call this number and be a part of the conversation as well. We got some comments coming in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, someone says, Lisa Schmidtgall-Steininger says, carry $5 gift cards for restaurants, DQ, McDonald's, etc. for the homeless slash needy.
Unknown caller.
All right, we got another caller, baby. Let's go.
Oh, let's go. I like that idea, though, the $5 gift cards.
This is a call coming from... This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Hello, caller. You are on the Paul Garcia Show, speaking to me, Paul Garcia, and my friend Corbin. Who are we talking to?
Kyle Roberts.
Kyle Brawman.
Oh, no, Kyle Roberts.
Kyle Roberts.
Hey. This is two Kyles in a row.
What's up, bro?
Hey, what up?
And Paul, what's up?
What's cracking, man? Not much. Thank you so much for calling. What do you got to say?
Well, all I wanted to say is, you know, I've been going to Bloomington, you know, more often or so this summer. And I have, you know, definitely seen the same people, you know, when you know, driving through just main intersections. And I just wanted to comment and say I kind of feel bad for Lexi, and was was it her and Kyle both?
No, it was you know, Lexi and her friend Emma, but
yeah.
Oh, her and Emma. Okay, sorry, I didn't hear that part. Yeah, I feel really bad. I mean, it's so unfortunate, you know, to go out of their way like that and try to bless somebody, and then that happens, you know. Mm-hmm. So I guess they ended up just taking some groceries home, or what did they say?
Yeah, probably. They just had a surplus of groceries and didn't go to that person.
Yeah, but it's, I guess, in those situations, the thought that counts.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah, what would you do in that situation, Kyle?
Well, when they got the sign saying that, you know, they're just trying to ask for some money or a little blessing or something, if I had some money to give, I would, you know, be willing to try to give them a little bit, saying, hey, here's a little bit, you know, to get by for a little while. And, mm-hmm. you know, also adding to that, I would recommend, you know, try to go ahead and, fill out a couple applications when you can, because, mm-hmm. you know, this country needs a lot more people that are more willing to work. I'm not saying that person is not willing to work, but there's just, everyone's hiring, and to me, I just think it would overall just help the economy when, you know, people just kind of got back to work, and,
yeah,
you know, just, that's just me, though. I mean, maybe not everyone seems to feel that way, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of goes along with what Paul was saying earlier when you said you spoke to that guy, and you said he said it was just temporary, you know. So spotting, so
right.
You think of it as like an investment is kind of the word that comes to mind that will help them, whether it's that, I don't know, that new jacket they need to go to an interview and get the job, or like, you know, what that $5 does for them that you give them. So,
mm-hmm. Kyle, do you?
I remember.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was just gonna say, there was one guy that was trying to ask for some money. I was in the drive-thru of Panera Bread over there by Walmart on Veterans one time. And he was just walking up, and I swear he had some nice clothes on. So, you know, so my first thought is maybe he's not hurting for money. I mean, he was wearing some real fancy-looking clothing. So, but he was asking for money anyway, and, you know, I spared him $5. He was wanting more like 10, but I literally only had like some fives and some ones on me. So, yeah.
That brings up another good question, though. Or go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead. I was just going to finish saying that he was saying he needed money for, I think he said he was needing money for some food or a ticket for the subway or something or a train ride. And then he ended up saying, like, right after I gave him the money, that he was going to invested into something else. So it did kind of question me, like, okay, so what is he really going to do with the money?
Hey, Kyle.
When I give him the money, he's going to do what he wants to do with it.
Right.
But don't tell me, you know, multiple things about, like, what you're going to do with it. I mean, only $5 is going to go to, you know, one thing or the other. It's not going to cover everything. So, you know, just my thing is, it just makes you wonder, you know, is everyone honest when they tell you they're going to do what they say they're going to do with that money.
Right.
That's exactly, all. Yeah. And Kyle, we're going to go ahead and let you go here, but thank you so much. We're going to keep talking about this subject a little longer, but I really appreciate you calling in, and thanks for watching the Paul Garcia Show and tuning in to see your brother Corbin.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. See all you guys later.
Yep.
See
ya. Catch you later.
It brings up a good point, though. What I was going to ask is, are you more apt to give somebody money based on how they're dressed? I remember watching a video where like somebody was well dressed, probably looked like somebody who was relatively successful and was asking for money, and people were more willing to give them money. So it's a good question.
This is a call coming from Mighty Call. This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Hello, caller. You are on the Paul Garcia Show talking to me, Paul Garcia, and my friend Corbin Roberts. Can we ask who the heck is calling?
Hey, Paul. Nick. You know Nick?
Nick Barnes. Nick Barnes. All right. Well, now the whole world knows your first and last name, but what's cracking, man? How's it going?
The whole world.
I'm doing good. Just wanted to call in and see what your opinion is and what if it's healthy or not to go to an all-meat diet.
An all-meat diet. Ooh, that's interesting because
I
know.
Is that healthy?
Right. Okay. Well,
been a better question for Kyle Brahman earlier.
Yeah, the nutritionist. But you know what? I have an opinion on this. And I think there's people with autoimmune disorders such as Jordan Peterson, Michaela Peterson, who swear by the all-meat diet, the carnivore diet is what they call it. And they say, for some odd reason, I mean the all-meat diet, which means no vegetables, no fruits, no grains, no anything like that, they don't get scurvy, which is a vitamin D deficiency-related disease. And it's really fascinating, but I've only seen a lot of good things happen from it. And you know what, Nick? To get to your question, 1 second. I'm going to put this incoming call on hold real quick. Yeah. End and accept.
It's no. The one, yeah, I can't. The one on the right.
No, hold and accept. Hold and accept.
You would be holding, Nick.
This is a call coming from Mighty Call.
Oh, Brett, no.
This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
All right. Hello. I don't know if I just hung up on the last caller or if this is a new caller, but can I ask who's calling?
Hi. This is Joey.
Joey? Oh, no, dude. Oh, gosh. I just hung up on Nick. Joey, really quick, hold this question that you have for 1 second, because I know Joey is a fighter, so he's all about nutrition. We were just talking about the all-meat diet, and Nick, if you're watching this, sorry I accidentally hung up on you. My bad, but we're talking about the all-meat diet. I know that it's beneficial for people with autoimmune disorders. I know Joe Rogan went on it, and he had amazing benefits. And then just recently this year, Harvard released an incredible study saying that of, like, I think it was 1,000 people that were on this all-meat diet for 6 months, they had significant health improvements, including 90% of the people plus who had diabetes had all or close to all of their negative symptoms alleviated. People with what's it called? The skin disease, eczema, like that stuff, and related skin diseases. Those went away. The little floaters in your eyes, their eyes went away. So it did a lot of really great stuff, and it makes you wonder if these canines in our teeth were there for a reason, being that maybe we're meant to eat mostly meat or all meat. Joey, you can either give your opinion on that, or you can go ahead and ask your question, but thank you for calling in.
I agree with that. That's good stuff right there. Nutrition is what builds your body up. If you give your body the tools necessary to build itself back, it will.
There we go.
But I had a very thought-provoking question for you.
Go for it.
We're all ears.
All right. It's for the both of you.
Okay.
So there's two types of people. They say there's the early bird gets the worm. And there's the second mouse gets the cheese. I was just wondering, what would you guys say that you are?
I'll be honest, I've never heard the second mouse gets the cheese. I like that, though.
That might be saying something. Maybe the only people that are saying that are the rare people who really succeed. I don't know. What do you think? Go ahead, Corb.
Well, for me personally, I love to sleep in, I'm going to be honest. I'm definitely not an early bird kind of guy. But...
Oh, yeah?
I'm interested to see what the studies would show. I feel like people who wake up earlier tend to be more successful, but that's completely not based off any sort of actual information. That's just me guessing.
Yeah. Well, I feel like people that wake up early are generally more healthy.
Right.
And therefore, people who are healthier are by and large more successful than people that are incredibly unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Joey, when you say that, do you mean people who wake up early versus people who don't? Or do you mean people that are just quick on to a given task versus people who take their time?
Interpretation a little bit. But, yeah, it could also be, are you going to wait for someone else to kind of do it first, and then you're going to kind of follow their actions, like the second mouse? Or are you that person that goes out there right away and just does it before anyone else does?
You know what? I'm going to say this, because when it comes to business and it comes to big social things, businesses, commerce, whatever, it seems like there is a trailblazer, such as someone who is conducive to the creation of the internet, right? Someone who trailblazes, makes something entirely new. Do they succeed? Not necessarily. They merely open the door to someone who's well-equipped to capitalize on someone's previously made creation, discovery, something like that, like a discovery of the internet, creation of the internet. Like Mark Cuban came into the game early, but he was technically second. And then You know, you build off the shoulders of giants. You build off the shoulders of people that have already done the hard legwork, and you capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. You see that all the time. People that came up with electricity weren't necessarily the millionaires. It was the people that knew, that learned and figured out how to conduct it properly and make lights glow. So it's like, if you discover something or create something incredible and new, you better learn how to capitalize on it, or else someone else who's more industrious and intelligent and entrepreneurial than you is going to make all the money. So I don't know. I think on a big scale, the second mouse gets the cheese, mm-hmm. because the first guy died in this metaphor,
yeah.
Just doing all the legwork.
Yeah.
But when it comes to day-to-day waking up, actually, I think the early bird gets the worm.
That's interesting to think about, because like what you're saying is, in the short term, the person who would like get up and go after it is more likely to be successful. But there's a lot of risk for those type of people too. When you're the first to do anything, that probably means you're going to be the first one. Like, you find out whether it's a good or bad decision, and you can't really build off that if it's
right. You spend all your energy and your life figuring out, or you just doing the thing, getting right. it up and running. Joey, before I hang up on you here and go to the next caller, what do you think about that? Does the early bird get the worm, or does the second mouse get the cheese?
And which are you?
Oh, man, I guess in like that instance, you'd want to be the bird getting the worm and the mouse getting the cheese. definitely the second mouse, though, if I got to say so, not going to lie.
Because you tend to wake up pretty late. If we're talking that type of thing, right?
Yeah. But what you said made a lot of sense. It kind of had me thinking about MySpace and how MySpace is kind of like was the start of social media a little bit.
Exactly. And then Mark Zuckerberg.
They didn't capitalize on what it could have been. And now there's stuff like Facebook and Twitter.
Yes, they laid the foundation for other smarter, more industrious people to come and capitalize.
Yeah. You know what? I was solid on the second mouse, but you got me thinking.
Well, Joey, when is your next fight? For people that don't know Joey Reese, he's an up-and-coming fighter. You got a next fight scheduled?
Oh, yes. October 15th in Davenport, Iowa.
There we
go. Direction. That's the next one.
Awesome. Any bold, what's the word? Predictions? What's wrong with me?
Predictions?
Yes.
Let's see. Knockout.
Oh, I like it.
That's about all I can say.
Knockout by
well,
what,
for
though?
Time, guys. I appreciate it.
Wait.
Knockout by, oh, man.
What's wrong?
Calling the move, too. Head kick.
All right, knockout by head kick. There you have it. That was Joey Reese. Joey, thank you so much for calling in, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joey.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Have a good one. Boom. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, so much for calling in. I've got an interesting comment here from Gail Hewling, who says, if I feel God calling me to give, I give. If they are taking advantage, God will deal with it. It's not my job to judge. I feel like that's a wholesome thing to say, but there's some holes in that, maybe. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of like when you tithe or when you are offering money, like you don't really have any control where that actually goes. You're kind of trusting God to do what he can with that at that point. And so maybe this is just a much smaller scale of that. You're literally just giving it to a person that you see in need, and at that point, you're leaving it up to God to have the influence that he spends that money in the right, or him or her to spend that money in the right ways.
Yeah, and you know what one of the biggest difficulties in my life is determining whether or not the voice in my head is the Holy Spirit moving within me, or if it's my own jacked up conscience or own jacked up thoughts telling me to do a thing. So that's a hard thing to decipher. But really quick, before we move on, I want to say something very important. Marshalloni's Pizza is the best pizza in the world, probably. Definitely Illinois and the Midwest. If you call Marshalloni's Pizza in Fairbury, Illinois between 4 and 5 p.m., you will get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Again, if you call between 4 and 5 p.m. Marshalloni's rocks, doesn't it, Corb?
Oh, it rocks.
It rocks.
That deal is a steal, by the way. I'm thinking, like, if you had 8 people, you order one pizza, you get it, the second one for free. You split that 8 ways, man. That's a...
Yeah.
You're talking $3 a person.
And I actually don't know if one order can order two pizzas, then get two free, and it's just you keep doubling.
That'd be insane.
But what you could do, sorry, John.
That was bad. Don't say that.
But if you get, you know, two people making two separate orders and they each get a free extra pizza, hey, you know, we got some. Yeah, life hack for sure. But yes, if you call between 4 and 5 p.m. any day of the week, you will get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free, and you can pick it up any time after that 4 to 5 window. If you call at 4:30, get this deal, say, hey, I'd like one medium pepperoni pizza for $9, and they say, hey, by the way, you get an extra pizza for free. Wow, you can come pick that up at 8 p.m. You just have to call during that time.
Just got to know what you want for dinner.
That's right, yeah. Just make 30 seconds. Pizza. Exactly. Yes, Marshalloni's Pizza is incredible pizza. We got a call coming in here. We'll take it real quick, but...
This is a call coming from Mighty Call.
I wonder if they
press 1. This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Hey, excuse me, caller. Don't say anything for about 20 seconds. I'm going to finish plugging Marshalloni's Pizza here. But Marshalloni's, again, it's incredible pizza. I love the family that owns it. I love Marshalloni's in Fairbury. They're incredible. And if you pick it up at their drive-thru, you will be picking it up at their drive-thru. I jacked up my lines there. But better pizza, better ingredients, Marshalloni's Pizza in Fairbury, Illinois. No one out pizzas Marshalloni's. Okay, who is calling in right now? You're talking to Paul Garcia on the Paul Garcia Show and my friend Corbin Roberts.
Hi, Corbin. Hi, Paul. This is Ann.
Ann, hey. How's it going?
Good, good. So I've been watching your guys' little episode thing live. You guys doing well? Paul, you're flubbing up your words.
I know. Look, I got a lot of notes here. I got a lot of calls to take. I got a lot of wires.
Get off my back. Make them nervous.
Yeah. I'm trying to read these comments, too.
No.
Yeah, I'm doing nothing. I'm just chilling over here.
I had a question. Well, I was going to call you originally, Paul, to put you on blast, but I actually have a question for both of you.
Thank goodness.
Well, I was wondering what your guys' thoughts, since you both are in relationships and one, you know, one's married, what your guys' thoughts are on women's personal hygiene, as in like shaving legs, shaving underarms, you know, washing hair every 4 days. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Corbin,
good question.
Go ahead and start this one off.
I'm 2 months into marriage, so I got to be careful what I say.
No, you're in marriage now, so you don't have to be careful.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No. Good question, Ann. I would say, I don't know, I prefer, obviously, when, like, smooth legs, I'd prefer shaved armpits and things like that, but I'm definitely not a stickler about it. Are you asking this so we can get, like, Patrick out of an argument, or how can we save him here?
Patrick is Ann's husband, by the way.
No, I will say I don't like to shave my legs every day. It's uncomfortable. I think any girl will say it's annoying and uncomfortable, but I think Patrick is like you, Corbin. He'd prefer the smooth legs, but I don't think he finds it disgusting that if I go, you know, a couple days or prickles or anything like that.
It's natural. And I mean, like, speaking for all men, we got it a lot easier than you guys do. So
we don't have to shave our legs. Gosh, and we grow leg hair like crazy.
I can't even keep up with my face. And I mean, just the surface area. Well, that was just putting me on blast now, yeah. I guess.
You have a lot of facial hair. But no, and as far as I go, I would say, you know, my love would not be determined by the outside appearance of someone, something as meaningless as hair. I'm not that shallow. So I would say...
You're so annoying, Paul. Oh, my God.
Okay, honestly, here's my answer. I'm fortunate that Anna, who's my girlfriend, really is big on that.
We should clarify that.
Yeah, yeah. she shaves her legs, like, every day. And I think it's awesome. Haven't checked the pits, but I'm sure it's probably the same. But no,
Anna, comment in, let us know.
Yeah, gosh, I hope she might actually be listening to this. But no, I really appreciate it, but it's not mandatory by any means, but it's certainly appreciated. And just like if I let myself go, or Corb, if you let yourself go, I'm sure your wife wouldn't necessarily appreciate it, but the relationship's continuation wouldn't depend solely on that. that thing.
Right.
So it's appreciated. I think it's very nice. Hair is one thing. BO is another, though. BO, actually, did you know this? This is
super controllable, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes, it is. It's not that hard. But not that I'm mad at anyone in particular. But stop laughing. No, what was I going to say here? Smell. Basically psychologically, but it's also on a biological level. If if your significant other it smells bad to you, that could be one, they actually smell bad, and they smell bad to everyone, but also their pheromones don't match up with what your body's looking for. And that can signify you of a lot of things. It can mean if you guys were to procreate, it wouldn't be good. Or maybe you couldn't procreate. It can tell you a lot of subliminal messages in some weird kind of way. So scent is a massive part of a relationship. It really is. I guarantee you Alicia thinks you smell good. And do you think Patrick smells good?
I do.
Exactly. Point proven. So smell is a huge thing. So BO, that would be a tough one. I wouldn't break up or anything, but it'd be like a thing you'd have a discussion over. Would you ever tell your significant other if their hair, leg hair, started getting long?
We talked about that one time. Like, would you ever tell me if my breath like just stank? And I said yes. So maybe yeah.
And what would you do?
Well, oh yes, of course. I would say, honey, you stink.
There we go. That's love. That's what love sounds like. Anne, thank you so much for calling in.
But I'm going to just tell you one thing. If someone doesn't tell you, then who's going to? You know what I mean? And sometimes odors can mean like a health issue as well, you know?
Yeah. Heaven forbid you have that decaying mouth disease or like tonsillitis or something.
Yeah. And who's going to have your back if your significant other doesn't? Yeah.
Your friends. That's what friends are for. They'll tell you if your breath stinks and if you smell like stank. Yeah, well, Anne, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate the thought-provoking question. We'll probably do one more call after this, but yeah, thank you, Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
You're welcome. See you guys later.
See ya. All right, this has been a lot of fun, guys. We'll take one more call, and then we'll call it quits. But yeah, that was a dicey question. What do you guys think? Leave it in the comments. Would you tell your significant other if they were getting stanky, if their leg hair was getting a little out of control, if they were looking a little nasty, maybe they got a unibrow? Would you tell them that? Or are those the things that you just don't say anything about out of love? What do you think about that, though? Like,
well, elaborate. I also think about like when you get old, like as your body literally decays over time. Are you going to stop loving somebody because of that, like their physical appearance, like you brought up? So, but I think that's something you got to think about. I don't think love, true love, goes much beyond physical appearance. But there's also something to, like, the appreciation that comes with holding yourself up, like maintaining your body, your odor, you know, things like that.
Right. I think that's what people can appreciate is the fact that you're trying. That says a lot about someone. That says a lot about if they have pride in themselves and take care of themselves and love themselves.
Right.
When someone lets themselves go, they just wear crap, they smell like butt, and they talk like an idiot. It's like, man, how can you respect that? If this person doesn't even respect themselves, it's impossible for me to respect them.
Right.
All right, we got another one call. This better be a good one.
This is a call coming from Mighty Call. This call may be recorded for quality assurance.
Hello, caller. You're on the Paul Garcia Show. This is Paul Garcia. I'm with my good friend Corbin Roberts. Who in the world are we talking to?
You're talking to Tyler.
Tyler, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. I've been watching the whole episode. You guys are super entertaining.
Well, hey, thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you got a question? You got a comment or anything?
Yeah, it's kind of just a random question. If you guys could choose to be one animal, what animal would you choose and why?
That's a great question. That's a thought-provoking one. I would need some time to think about it because I'm not that sharp. But, Corb, I feel like you have an answer ready to go.
Ooh, I'm trying to think.
Wow, I guess I was wrong.
No, it's a tough question. But I think naturally, for some reason, I'm going to like some sort of bird. Like, I think it'd be really cool to fly. That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah. But then they don't live that long, so. And then, like, do you want to be a like a tortoise so you can live like 150 years? But what kind of life is that? I think right. A bird might be pretty cool, like a bald eagle, something a little bit more dangerous, or a falcon. Mm-hmm. I think that would be pretty cool.
And you could just travel and see the world so easily. Just mm-hmm. one day, fly across the state of Illinois, burn little to no calories, glide with the wind, and just see everything. And no one's going to mess with you because you're the highest on the food chain. You kill, like, deers and stuff. Yeah, I think that's a pretty solid choice. No, they kill deers.
Bald eagles do? Or?
Oh, no. I've seen them, like, they'll swoop down and grab a goat and just drag them off a cliff and drop them and then go
to town.
Yeah.
They're also, you're also protected. You know? You're repping the brand of the U.S. Nobody's going to shoot you down.
Hey, that's actually true. Tyler, what were you going to say there?
I was just commenting on your guys' conversation.
No, what were you saying? What do you think about Corbin's idea with the... being a bald eagle.
Oh, that I had the same exact thought because you could literally travel wherever you want, pretty much.
Yeah.
And just being that high up in the air, I've always wanted to go like skydiving or something just for that same reason.
That's a whole nother question.
What else? Go skydiving. Yeah. Wait, I got to think about the animal.
Yeah.
That's insanely difficult, actually. You know what? You know, dang it. Because you don't want to choose something that just lives forever. You want to choose something that lives an interesting life, right. So you're not just passing idly by as you live 150 years. It rocks being a human, and I don't know what it's like to be another animal, but this whole striving and building your own life, making money, raising a family, loving, going to church, all that stuff, man. Hey, Tyler, we're going to let you go. My answer is that weird bacteria that can live forever and live in outer space, but oh, dang it, we freaking lost.
Goodbye, Tyler.
Tyler, you still
there? Oh, wait,
there?
He's still there?
Yeah, I'm still
here. We lost the call.
I thought he hung up on him.
The second person, go ahead and call back. I thought it was a mic drop moment. Now I have to defend my space amoeba.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about this bacteria.
I can still hear you guys.
You can still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. Okay, yeah. If that person calls back, we'll answer. But anyway, no, there's this weird bacteria thing that apparently can live forever, something with telomeres or something weird. I don't know. It can live forever. It can live in space. I might take back that answer because I don't even think it can experience anything because it doesn't have a brain. It's just kind of existing. I honestly, if we're talking all throughout time, I'm not a pterodactyl. I'd just be a bald eagle so I don't get killed. Nothing kills me.
Mine, dude.
I know, but that was the best answer, and there's a reason Tyler took it also. I think bald eagle's the obvious answer. No one wants to be a tiger. Other tigers will kill you if they're bored. Gorillas, other gorillas will kill you viciously, but I think bald eagles are chill.
It's true. Yeah.
What do you think, Tyler?
I think you guys are right. I mean, I don't know what kind of bird I'd want to be, but anything that can fly really just sounds like a good time to me.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be a crow or a hummingbird because those things get ate all the time. Yeah, so it matters. Yeah.
I'm sure other crows. I'll be the fastest crow out there.
I believe that, man. You're a wrestler. You got the right mindset. With the right mindset, you can do anything. You can even become a bird if you try hard enough. But, Tyler, thank you so much for calling, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Tyler.
Pleasure talking with you guys.
See you, man.
Hung up a little prematurely there. But, yeah, all right. Hey, if that person who just tried calling calls back, go ahead. But, Corb, I think we got probably just a couple more minutes before we wrap this whole thing up. This has been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about corporal punishment in Missouri, that jogger woman who was abducted and killed in, I forget what state that was, but, man, that was pretty crazy. Did you hear anything about that?
Well, actually, when I heard about it, I listened to Big D and Bubba a lot, sitting right upstairs in this room, but that's where I first heard it, was on my way to work one morning. They were talking about it, and from what I can recall, like, she was just on her morning jog that she goes out for most days. I think it was like 4 or 5 in the morning, and it's probable that this guy had been stalking her for a while and knew that she'd be going on this job. Like, well, I'm just thinking, like, he had to have a little bit of a game plan because he did it in a relatively public area, I believe. So, and I mean, they did find her body, like, pretty quickly, it sounds like.
In an abandoned house, I think, nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In some people, apparently, I haven't seen the people saying this, but some people are getting mad at the people saying this, saying that she was dressed
in a sports bra and, like, spandex or whatever it is. Yeah, right. Like, the victim-blaming type stuff.
Right, yeah. Which is gross to say, but mm-hmm. there's... Then this was gross. The guy was obviously a sicko, and you... Obviously, look, before anything crazy happens here, I agree wholeheartedly that, yes, no woman should have to worry about that. She should be able to wear whatever she wants. But at the same time, the world we live in is full of sickos. So therefore, just because we should, in a perfect world, be able to go out and wear whatever we want, mm-hmm. doesn't mean we can and we should act accordingly. You know, I should be able to say whatever I want in a public forum and not have to fear for my livelihood and my well-being, my physical well-being. But the fact of the matter is, I should probably have security nearby if I'm speaking to a crowd of 5,000, half of which are, you know, just about some divisive topic.
Right.
Like, although in a perfect world you wouldn't have to worry about it, but we don't live in a perfect world, so therefore take precaution. I don't know if the fact that she was limited in her cover-up had anything to do with it at all, but it... To be honest, it probably did. It probably was attractive to the guy. And that's gross. Whatever, you can hate me, but it probably is the case that that made her more attractive to him. And I don't know what to say to that. It's a very touchy subject. And I'm not saying that she should have dressed up, but if I were a father or something right now, I'd probably tell my daughter, hey, dress modestly. For a number of reasons, not just to get you out of the lustful eye of potential pedophiles or potential whatever, sickos right. like that, but just for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
What do you think about that when it comes to how women dress? Modestly, immodestly, what do you think? What do you all think?
Yeah,
sorry about
comment.
That.
No, yeah, we need to get a caller in on this because this one's a pretty deep question. There's a lot of ways it can go, and It's tough to just say, like, oh, they need to dress more modestly, because I agree, like, you should be able to dress how you want. I think the question of, like, well, raise, like, people, the common comeback is raise your sons better, you know, and I would say you and I are probably one of those better raised sons, but, you know, when you see a female dressed a particular way, it is challenging for any guy. Now, I'm not, like, we're talking about a total another spectrum that of guy, this guy who murdered her, like, this guy is sick, like, this guy is the outlier, you know?
But outliers exist,
they
therefore.
Do, and you have to be aware of the outliers, like, but it's, the more I talk with women about it, the more I realize, like, how, as a guy, when I'm out on a jog, it almost rarely crosses my mind that I need to be, like, on the lookout for somebody. Like, yeah, I understand if I'm jogging in a sketchy area, it could get jumped, something like that.
Yeah,
but I'm not thinking I'm going to get abducted and, you know, raped or murdered. You know, that doesn't cross my mind. And I doubt it crosses yours very often, too. Would you say the
never,
same?
Never. And it's just jumped as possibly because I'm one guy by himself. There's strength in numbers, but I'm not worried about someone abducting me. No one wants me. I shouldn't say that. No one wants to rape a guy, though. No one's picking up guys to rape them.
But it is sad that that has to be on a woman's mind all the time.
It is very sad, yeah.
But I guess to go back to your question on, like, whether or not they should dress more modestly, I think most people do raise their sons to respect women, and there will always be the challenge of seeing, like, a very beautiful woman that's dressed scandalously, and you will probably look at her and, you know, lust after her or something like that, but that, I don't think that's something you'll ever be able to wash out of men's
brains. No, that's in their neurology.
But you can definitely teach them how to handle those types of situations. Like, it's probably okay to look, you know, but there's a certain point where you need to decide when things are going too far. Like, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going. I'm kind of going down a weird path there.
Yeah, well, like, it makes a lot of sense because there's a difference between looking and gawking, right? If you're not raised in a religious household or a household that, for another reason, which is rare, really instills great morals in you, especially about women, sexuality, and everything, chances are you're just going to do what comes natural, and what comes natural is to gawk at a woman who's dressed sexually. Obviously. That's mm-hmm. why they dress sexually. And you can say, that's why they dress sexy. Both, honestly. Yeah. They both work, sexually or sexy. But, like, if they're wearing the really short shorts with their booty hanging out and the cleavage showing like crazy and their belly showing like crazy, practically a sports bra in the bar, they can say all they want that this is just to make me feel pretty. It's not. You're doing that because you know that that's what people like, specifically people of the opposite sex whose attention you want.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds horrible. It's the truth, though. It's the truth, even when you dig down deep into it. And what I would say is it does matter how you raise your sons and your daughters.
For sure.
Daughters, have respect for yourself. Look, there's a lot of sickos out there that all they need is just you to see a lot of your skin. They're going to stare at you. They're going to be weird. It's just the world we live in, honey. Those aren't the sons. That's not your brother. That's not the son that I'm going to raise. But they're out there. Therefore, take precaution then. For the guys, hey, guys, there's going to be a lot of girls out there that are going to try to corrupt you. Look, not to be a crazy weirdo, but you and I both know that. There are people out there that kind of want to... women out there that kind of want to corrupt you in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And therefore, you know, be aware of that and treat women respectfully. If they're acting this way, you know, you don't want any part of that. So it's definitely a minority of men and women that respect themselves in this way and they conduct themselves in this manner, respectfully, modestly, all that. But what are you going to do? All you can do is worry about your household and how you raise your kids and tell them to take precaution. I'm not saying that this happened to this woman because she was dressed that way.
Yeah.
But just on a totally different subject, I always think it's good to dress modestly and only your significant other who you're bound with God in the mix with in marriage, only they should see your body that much.
I'm curious as to why I feel like this argument or this conversation gets a lot of blood boiling for a lot of people. And I honestly don't know why, because it's like, I don't think it's up for debate that, you know, you shouldn't have these ill intentions just based off of the way somebody's dressed. Like, and I would say the bulk of people, 99%, would agree with that. You know, most people are not going to do anything because of a way a woman's dressed. Mm-hmm. But like you said, there are, like, of the 10,000, there is that one person that will do something weird, will take it too far. That'll always be the case. There will always be sickos. People that are messed up, and, like, unfortunately, that's the world we live in. We live in a world of sin, so there's nothing you can do about that. You just have to prepare your daughters and your sons on how to best prepare themselves and prevent those types of situations.
Yeah, rather than complain about the way the world is and the way that some people are, and we should change them, how about you take some responsibility for yourself and say, hey, look, this is the reality. I'm going to act like this. I'm going to raise my daughters like this, my sons like this, and this is what we're going to do. It starts with you. Start raising better children that'll populate the world. And if more people stay in marriages, Christian marriages, and raise Christian kids with good morals and principles and philosophies, we'll populate the world with a majority of really good people, and then we'd be better. That's technically what would happen, I think. But, I don't know how to make that happen. I think it starts with, you boil it down, it's like it starts with Christianity and Christians doing a better job, I think, and just everyone being better people.
Right. And that, I think it also, I don't know why, but my mind always shifts to, like, when, you know, like, oh, it's very normal for any girl to carry pepper spray with her at all times. And I think of, like, what are the best forms of self-defense or the biggest equalizers in any form of fight or battle? And I think of, like, concealed carry and how important, like, I don't know why more women aren't in support of that if they could be the ones with that kind of firepower, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of if you were on a jog and you could have, if you're in a state where concealed carry is legal and you have that with you, that guy who goes after you, there's a much higher chance that she wins that fight, because it did sound like she put up a big fight, like...
Oh, really?
What they say, like, the perpetrator, the guy who murdered her, his shoes were left on the scene. Like, there was that's how much of a fight there was here. It wasn't like I grabbed her and ran. It was like a full on, like, probably one of the hardest wrestling matches you've ever seen. Huh. I mean, somebody fighting for their life. So think about if she had something that would just, there's no doubt that she could win with, you know what I mean?
You know, these situations, these scenarios kind of make me think about, and this is going to sound out there, but it still makes me think, and probably makes parents think about this, like, if you did have a little, maybe not a chip in your skin or something, but if you had like a ring that you just wore, and if you took off a thingy, it alerted people, and then like you can be tracked and alerts the police, mm-hmm. and it's like emergency, just you pull off a little thingy, or if it's like a thingy right here, you say a number or something so the person doesn't know what you're doing, you say a secret password or I don't know, and then it alerts the police and then it starts tracking you. I don't know, that's very
wild.
It is weird, but it would have saved her
potentially. And the new iPhones, I heard, if you get into a car accident with the new iPhone 14, I believe, somehow it can recognize that you were in a accident and it will immediately call 911, like phone signal or not. It's able to do that.
Dang,
that sounds pretty crazy.
That's some high tech stuff. If it knows the difference between a harsh brake and a oof. And,
right. I wonder if it'd malfunction a lot or not.
No, actually,
police
yeah.
constantly
I know
following
the smart watches, like if you shake it too aggressively, it's like starts calling 911.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you probably can't do it physically. Like, you know what I mean? I wonder if it has to be such a
fist pumping so hard trying to get it to go.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how they would read something like that, mm-hmm. but there's smarter people out there than me.
Yeah,
they can do things like that.
Well, hey, everyone, thank you so much for tuning into this first live episode of the Paul Garcia Show. That was Corbin Roberts. Thank you, Corb, for coming on, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
My pleasure. And I just want to say thank you to Marshalloni's Pizza, the official sponsor of these live episodes. Marshalloni's Pizza, if you call between 4 and 5 p.m., and you order a pizza, you get a second one of equal or lesser value for free. Restrictions apply. You can do that, and then you can pick it up in their awesome drive-through. They got really good workers. I love that family that owns that place. Their pizza is simply delicious. Where are my notes? Better pizza, better ingredients, Marshalloni's. No one out-pizzas Marshalloni's. This is the Paul Garcia Show. God bless, and have a great week, and thanks, everyone, for calling in. We're still going. We're still here, baby. We're back to round two, the second hour. No, just kidding. I hit the wrong button. We are done in 3, 2, 1.